to Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We'll tell everybody about this later. We got another donation for Triples for Autism, which is awesome. Which awesome. Means the Warriors hit a bunch of threes again last night, but one too few. And it does feel a little bit like a crossroads, right?
Yeah. And I sent that out. Shout out to Bone Thugs and Harmony and their great song, Crossroads. And see you at the crossroads. And I saw Anthony Slater's piece in The Athletic, and he talked about the crossroads. And here we are. And our next guest, Tim Kawakami, I'm sure can speak to that at 19-20, 23 days before the deadline. Who are you?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
No, it's a tough spot. And, and so we want to talk to Tim about that and much more. He joins us now on the River Islands guest line. His great work on the SF Standard and then also, of course, the TK Show, which you can find on the Odyssey app, is great. And he just posted a conversation with Buster Posey, now running the Giants. So we'll touch on that a little bit as well. Hey, Tim, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing just fine, guys. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. This crossroads for the Warriors, though. I mean, like, how does Mike Dunleavy, how does he thread this needle?
Yeah, I don't know that it's really possible. If it means, like, can you get this team to compete for a championship this season? I just don't know that that's in the realm of possibility. Probably was a little outside the envelope already going into the season, but you could think about it, and they go 12-3 to start. You certainly are allowed to say, well, get a third seed, and the third seed is where they won the championship in 2022. And, well, that's out the window. You're 7-17 the last last month and a half, or however long that's been. I think they have to be realistic. I think they're generally realistic. I think what we're hearing from Steph, Draymond, and Kerr in the last few days in various interviews is that they're really trying hard to be realistic. And I know fans don't want to hear that. And maybe Joe Lacob is not on that. You know, he's always pushing for try to be as good as you can. But I don't know that the move is there. That would immediately vault them back. I don't know what they could do where you could say, okay, this now is a team that's going to be one of the top three seeds and have a real shot at home court advantage the first two rounds, and then all these things that you kind of need, you kind of want to feel if you're the Warriors right now and then you're going to playoffs. Now, obviously, you have the pressures of Steph. They're going to be 37 in March. You have, you know, how much more are they going to get at Draymond? All these things, all these pressures are there. They're real, but I don't know what they can what practically they can do beneficially other than just try to be as good as they could this year. It's not going to be great. And then make sure they don't blow it for some big move if it's there next offseason. That's where this is. You know, again, fans really don't like to hear that. And that's okay. I get it. It's not great right now. But what you don't want to do is sacrifice the possibility of something bigger, or that Jonathan Kuminga just turns into that something bigger. I don't know if that's going to happen, but there's a possibility of that. You don't want to sacrifice that for a marginal improvement this season. And I don't see anything out there other than marginal improvements. And Dennis Schroeder, I thought, would be a marginal improvement. And he's actually been not that. He's been a marginal, maybe step backward step. So they don't have a lot that they can do. And it's tough. It's a tough place to be. It's a tough place knowing that Steph Curry could still lead a team doing some really big things if he's got the right mix around him. They don't have the right mix around them. They've got the injuries. And I've said the Kuminga injury really froze this season, because either he could have been really, really good and they would have changed the dynamic of the team, or he would have built his value and could have traded him for something really, really good in February. And neither of those things was likely to happen, with him maybe missing games all the way up until the trade deadline. And at the best, he'll be back with a week or two before that, and he'll be trying to get himself into shape. And that's just not the way that you're going to maximize his value at this moment. It's just they're kind of stuck there. And it's not great, but I think some of this season is the acceptance of that reality. And we're hearing it, I think, from the top guys.
Yeah, the five stages of grief, the Kubler-Ross model, they don't always go in order, but I do think that we've reached a little bit of an acceptance stage. And I think about the offseason, Tim, and how are they poised to then, at that spot, make a bigger move that maybe they can't make at the deadline in terms of, you know, cap room or salary space and assets? Are they more poised in August than they are now in February?
I mean, it's just the teams are more willing to make bigger swings in the offseason. That's when they tried to get Paul George, Lauri Markkanen last offseason. You're just set up the way the contracts go. They don't have cap room. They don't have, you know, that isn't what where they're playing with. It's just what can they trade. And you would have Kuminga becoming a restricted free agent. You would have, you know, other contracts that could possibly move. You would have some, you know, it's Kuminga and his picks at that end, and Wiggins. It's all the names that we've heard, and maybe that gets you Markkanen, and maybe that gets you something more than Markkanen. We know what the pipe dream is. It's the guy in Milwaukee, but he's the pipe dream for a lot of teams, and maybe teams that are better positioned than the Warriors. We'll see. But I just think that's when they have to really make the decision about Kuminga. Again, he's a restricted free agent in July, and they could either pay him, they could trade him, they could figure out what to do there. You know, there are some players that might become available. You know, there's always a good player that's a surprise that becomes available, and it's much more likely that they'll be able to do it in the off season than they would be in the trade deadline's tough. You got to match so many things all at once. You can't go 4-for-1 because the roster spots are taking it, and it's just really hard to make something like that happen at the deadline. You can do it. It has happened. It's hard, and I just think, I mean, Markkanen, you can revisit. You can revisit some Paul George. You can do some other things, and neither one of them feels that great right now. But it's on that level that they can try to line it up for next July and hope that Steph's good for another year. I hope that Draymond holds on for another year. That's what it's basically come down to. But what you don't want to do is do something that sacrifices something you're going to need, the first-round pick, two first-round picks, in July, if you want to line up something big by getting something marginal now. And I think it's all marginal now.
Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, TK Show, Odyssey app with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. TK, we all took note that the timing of Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, all at the same time sort of saying, hey, we value the future of this organization, not just what happens for us in the next 2 or 3 years. Do you think there's some sort of coordinated PR messaging that's coming from those three guys?
It would be logical. I don't know that. I think they've been that way. That's what I've been trying to tell people for a while. They were there this way in summer. They've been this way all season. They're in on all these discussions, believe me. Steph, for sure. And they get it. They understand what's in play. Do they want a big move? Absolutely. But they don't want a stupid move. And that's kind of where they're at. And I think maybe they're understanding the pressures that the front office might be under. They're understanding people are worried about Steph's prime. And my joke is, Warriors fans seem to be worried about Steph's prime more than Steph is worried about Steph's prime, because he understands kind of like, you know, the steps you have to take, the moderate plans you have to make, the stupid things you have to avoid in order to try to just do the best you can with what you have and then make the play when you can, not when you're forcing it. So I just think the questions are being asked now, and so we're hearing what they really think. This is not a surprise. This is what's kind of been in the organization for a while. You do hear Lacob, you know, pushing the button, wanting to go push and push and push, but he's also the one in the whole two-timeline thing, which people are barbecuing everybody for. That's fine. They did the two-timeline thing because they happened to get the second pick overall. They were so bad, everybody left, and they got the second overall pick, so they decided it's a two-timeline. That was out the window when James Wiseman flailed out. But I just think they're rational people. They talk about this. There's never been a, you know, Mike Dunleavy Jr. does not do stuff without checking with Steph and Draymond. They're in this. That's, I think, Warriors fans in bulk don't understand that. They think that they're these helpless people, you know, watching the world go by, and they have no control over it. No, Steph Curry and Draymond Green, if they don't want someone to come to the Warriors, they let Dunleavy know it doesn't happen. If they want somebody, they make a push for that player. This is the way it's worked for several years. It's the way it should work. If it all busts open and it's all terrible, maybe some of that changes, but it hasn't happened yet. Maybe they're on their way there. I mean, they don't look good, but I think it's held together because there's a communication, there's understanding, and they just don't do stuff that Steph doesn't want them to do because he's rational too. And I think that's the larger picture here.
Yeah, and you hear his comments from yesterday, and it seems like he's rational with an eye toward the future for the organization, even after his time here is up. So I think about some of the big names that are out there, and you know, Jimmy Butler and Zion and other big names that people want to throw out. When you look at those deals, are they just too unwieldy, and maybe the fits aren't good enough for the Warriors to even entertain them?
Yeah, the money's so huge. Just got to remember that. They have to match the money. Absolutely must match the money. So you're giving up Wiggins plus Kuminga plus something else plus something else just to get to the number of the that they're making. Just think of it that way. They're not getting these guys just for the salary and taking them. They have to add players to get to the salary. Are they better? With Butler, you probably have to give him an extension. And with Zion, you have to deal with a guy who doesn't play, you know, half the games every season. The equation doesn't work. Now, you want to go back through and do it in the off season with a chance to get a full breath and check out what Zion's health status is, or maybe Butler exactly get the number on what it's going to cost for an extension. Probably better than doing it in the whirlwind of the middle of the season. It's just not the wisest way to do this. It usually doesn't work out when you do it bang, bang like this. It usually is a lot better when you have kind of a breather. You can take a whole off season to adjust to the new player. You can figure out the money. You can make other deals, right, to compensate for the things you had to give up to get this player. This is what the off season is for. I'm not guaranteeing something huge is going to happen in the off season. They've tried it before and it hasn't worked. They've tried it before and it has worked. It's just so much more sane to do it when in conjunction with all the other things you can do in the off season, including the draft. And maybe they're going to get a lottery pick, the fellas, by the way, and maybe they luck out in the lottery. You know, I don't know that they will, but sitting in 12th place, that's where it seems to be headed. I think they probably can wedge their way into that play-in. We'll see where it goes from there. But it's so tough to start talking about $40 million players when you have to stack up those contracts in order to get there. And are you better? Are you better without Andrew Wiggins and John Kuminga to get Jimmy Butler? I would say you're not. Are you better with those two players to get Zion, who may or may not be playing? I would say you're not. Like that player who's worth that package, if that's what it is, I don't see them being available on this market. Maybe it'll be available in the July market.
Tim, what if we go down a peg? Like, and there's been so much talk about Vucevic. What do you think the chances are that Vucevic is on this team in a few weeks?
I think it's decent, although Chicago is a weird team. Like in the Brooklyn, it's a deal-making team. So when Schroeder is available and they can make it, they did it, right? The first day it was possible to acquire Dennis Schroeder, they did. Chicago doesn't operate like that. Chicago is hard to tell. Like they might be pushing for the 10th spot in the East. They might be pushing for the, you know, 11th spot in the East and trying to get to 9, whatever. If it was the Brooklyn you're talking to and they had Vucevic, I think it might already have happened. It's not going to cost the Warriors one of those, you know, probably wouldn't cost them one of those pieces you're going to need in July, unless they're asking for a first-round pick, then you're just not doing it. But, yeah, I think that could happen. I think there are other names that are out there that theoretically could happen. Stretch five. If you the one position that it's worth them giving up a little bit, it's stretch five, because they just cannot score in the front court. They cannot score. And it tightens up everything. Nobody wants to take a shot. I don't think Nikola Vucevic makes them one of the top four teams in the West. I think they might make them one of the top five, top six, if all works out. And sometimes it doesn't, as we're seeing with Schroeder. But, yeah, I could see that. Gary Payton plus Buddy Hield plus something else. If Chicago wants to do that, wants to get off of Vucevic's salary for next season, I think it would be smart for them, but it's just kind of hard to figure out Chicago sometimes. They don't do the smart thing. They hold on to their guys for what? I don't always understand. Brooklyn is a team that's like, let's get as bad as we can. Let's tank. I get that. That's what they did. Chicago, I don't know. It's really hard to guess what Chicago is going to do, but Vucevic is one of those, yeah, he's one of those marginal pieces. It's maybe an extra win, a half a win, two wins, whatever it is. It's not 10 wins, but I think they'd look better with him, and I don't think it would or should cost them something sacrificing the chance to do something larger down the road.
Yeah, and two wins now, and maybe it's four wins next year, so it becomes incremental in the rebuild. Yep. You mentioned Brooklyn. They do have four first-round picks in the upcoming draft, so we're going to see a lot of Brooklyn when the draft hits. Jonathan Kuminga, Tim, where do you think the Warriors are with Kuminga? Because he started to flash, then he got hurt. He's going to be owed in the open market between, I don't know, 30 and maybe $40 million per year. Where do the Warriors sit in terms of their willingness to give him that big deal or maybe give him the Jordan Poole treatment of a sign and trade?
I think they'd be in the market 35, 36. I think they can't afford it. They got some salaries coming off. Is he good enough in Steve Kerr's estimation to be worth that, to guarantee 32 minutes a game? Still marginal. I think he was moving in that direction. I think they cannot lose him as an asset. The other thing is, you look around, there's not many teams that have that slot to offer him. So they can't even sign him to the restricted offer sheet. So, Brooklyn is the one that has the max slot. Then now there's word that they don't want to use it because they want to hold it open to see if they can do something to fit, Giannis into some of that. There could be other ways that they could use that. So I don't know that this Kuminga thing might be as controversial as we've all kind of thought it was going to be. I've written it. It's a weird valuing thing, and it's now frozen because of the ankle injury. Not a perfect fit in a Kerr system, but he also does a lot of things, as we're seeing in the last few games, that they desperately need. Somebody could just take the ball and go to the rim. They do not have that. It's weird that their NBA team, with all these good players, or theoretically good players, and none of them, except for Steph, can get to the rim. It's weird. But he's got a place on this team. Again, what the number's going to be, whether they think they should trade him instead, sign and trade, we'll have to see what the package is. But barring that, I think he's got a spot on this team. I think they could sign him. Doesn't mean they won't trade him after that in a year or 6 months or whatever. But I think the way this is headed is he signs with the Warriors, 4 years, 125, something like that, about where his contemporaries have signed. And they ride it out because you just don't want to lose that value. You cannot get to a spot where you cannot re-sign him and he goes for nothing. That would be a malpractice, and I just don't think they're going to do that.
That's interesting. Tim Kawakami, SF Standard. The TK Show is on the Odyssey app. He's joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Okay, the big five names, Tim. Joe Lacob, Mike Dunleavy, Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. Are they all on the same page right now?
Yeah, you can't all be exactly on the same page, and you have different pressures and different urgencies and different things. But I think generally they are. That's why I think it's a misunderstanding that that Steph would want one thing, and Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy Jr. would want a different thing. I think Kerr has differing values about young players, but you understand that, and that's good. You don't want everybody to think the exact same thing. He wants young players to prove it to him, and Kuminga is sort of doing that, had not been doing that for a few months. You don't want everyone to think the exact same thing. It's great when you have Kevin Durant, Steph Curry in their primes, and then everybody can think the same thing. It's just that doesn't happen very often. So it's a little bits of conversations and debates and things pushing one way and things pushing another way, but I think they're generally on the same thing. Listen, in a year or two, if Steph is not the superstar that he still is, maybe a lot of that equation changes. And, I think we're feeling some of that now, but this hasn't happened yet. And, we know where the contracts end. Curry's contract ends in 2 years. Well, now Curry's 3 years. But it's going to come to an end. I think everybody understands that. How do they want that to go? Who do they want to be surrounded by when it happens? And then what's the next steps after that? I think everybody understands this. It's just how there might be differing ideas on how that happens. I don't think it's huge discrepancies. I just think there's things within, percentages of, do we try this? Do we really try this? Do we really, really, really try this? Or do we fall back on this? I think those are the conversations. I think we're hearing it, again, out loud in public. It's kind of where the Warriors do things. They kind of talk about it because they're asked these questions. And I don't think there's an immense amount of tension. I just think it's the tension of, we got to figure this out because it ain't working right now.
Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, and again, TK Show just released with Buster Posey. By the way, TK, since you talked to Buster, are the Giants done this offseason?
Yeah, I don't think he was going to say they're done, but I think their big stuff is done, generally. I mean, you know, I don't know what else they would do. You know, maybe here or there, you know, with the kind of, you know, a backup outfielder or that kind of thing. But I think they're generally done. You know, he said they're not going to go up in their starting pitcher, which is kind of the other thing that they could go for. I don't know that fans want to hear this exactly, but I don't know what else they would do. They're, you know, Pete Alonso is the one out there, but they're not blocking Bryce Eldridge with a first baseman. They're not doing that. So this is essentially what they are. It's not great, but I think there's faith in Posey that Willy Adames changes of the dynamic in the infield, that Verlander, if he gives them 15 to 20 starts, is changes the kind of the feeling on the rotation, and they go from there. And one thing that we learned from Farhan Zaidi, I know Giants fans always love hearing that name, the roster you're bringing to spring training isn't the one that you're going to end up having in July.
Yeah.
And the roster even on opening day isn't the one you're going to have in July. Let's see how this plays out, but I don't think anything dramatic is going to happen between now and spring training.
No short-term first baseman who can also DH? Like, nothing like that?
I think that's Lamont Wade Jr. is what that is. Oh. So, you know, I understand. I'm not the biggest fan of that kind of thing, but who is that? Who is that? That's the thing. Is that player available right now? I don't know, and I think they're going to say, listen, if Bryce Eldridge can come up here in September, in August, you don't want someone sitting there making $35 million a year and go, oh, what do we do with this guy?
Yep.
So, you know, I think that you, again, it's long-range thinking, but I don't know that some DH, you know, first baseman who hits 22 home runs and looks like, you know, Jorge Soler's stat profile is going to make him better than the Padres or certainly the Dodgers. It's a little defeatist, I understand it, but I think it's more of a big picture fix than it is, oh my God, we got to match up with that team. They're not going to match up with that team. They're not. It's not going to happen. You try to play as hard as you can and be as, you know, overall. It's kind of the overview of the thing, and maybe they just feel like a team on the rise. I think that is the goal for them. That's a realistic goal, at least.
TK, you're the best, man. Thank you for joining this afternoon.
You got it, guys.
Okay, Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, TK Show, Odyssey app. We're sponsored by AC Transit, and we're going to react to that and continue to take your calls. What do you want to see the Warriors do? We all acknowledge this tough spot, but they got to do something. The number one thing that it seems like nobody wants to vote for is do nothing, which means you want them to do something. So what? What do you want to do? Big trade, medium trade, tank? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Left to right on your radio dial. The bounce pass, Abachi on Curry. Inside hand, scores a driving layup. Warriors call time. And what would be a disastrous loss on the road here in Toronto. Golden State's down 102-101 with 93 seconds to go.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, earlier in the day, I called you a dismisser.
Yeah, yeah.
I stand on what I say, by the way.
Of course. Stand on what you mean.
Stand on it. Stand on what you say.
Sing it.
Stand on what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Crossroads, for those of you not on YouTube.
Oh, see you at the crossroads.
Yeah.
Actually, I won't.
And we're there.
We're here.
We're at the crossroads.
We're there.
And you're seeing me at the crossroads. So.
And I have no problem admitting that I skew in the other direction. I don't ever want to give up on nothing. And that's because I'm a dreamer and all of that stuff. But I've also watched it in sports too many times. And so that's kind of where I come from when I look at this. Just bottle up how you feel right now, Warrior fan. And I would argue very firmly that it's not going to be like this for the rest of the year. That doesn't mean that it's going to get better. It might get worse. How about that? Might get worse. I doubt it. But my point is that I just don't like the same way Steph Curry, and we'll play it again for you in a sec, and Steve Kerr joins us in 25 minutes live. The same way Steph Curry goes, we don't want to make a move out of desperation. You also don't want to make decisions off of emotion. And your emotion right now is, ah, crap, this sucks. To hell with it. Throw it in the trash. And I just think that's where Team Tank is coming from. That's not where they are. It doesn't make any sense. The whole youth movement, Tank, this, that, the other, quite frankly, just to be real about it, there's plenty of time for that. If that's what you want to do. If you want a youth movement, Steph Curry has two more years on his deal after this one. So this that we're experiencing, this isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Well, unless you trade Steph, which many people, you know, some people want to do.
And what would you say about
that?
It's
nonsense.
Of course.
It's a non-starter.
Agreed.
And I'll be dismissive of that idea because you don't trade your number one marquee box office attraction when you're trying to put out a business that's about entertainment. And right now, you mentioned it before, like what's watchable about this team right now? Is it Buddy barely glancing the rim? Is it Dennis wandering lost on the floor? Is it TJD diving to the rim? Is it Kevon Looney setting a good sturdy screen? Is it Lindy Waters with an open three? No, it's Steph. It's only Steph. It will always be Steph. And so if you're looking to put out an entertainment product, you're not going to trade your number one asset. So yes, you're not going to make a trade based on emotion or desperation. I don't think good teams do that. And that's what Draymond said. His quote was, that's not what good teams do. Bad teams do that.
Thank you.
And this is not a bad organization. It might be a bad team right now. And yeah, they're able to go, you know, on a little bit of a run. I don't think they're going to go 32-10 the rest of the way.
I don't either.
But they'll probably be this sort of a team, around 500, threatening the play-in. Maybe they get to the play-in and maybe they win a couple of games and get a series. But no matter what they wind up doing, I think after half a year, you get an idea of who they are.
I liked Tim's answer on Vucevic. Chicago's a weird team. I don't know what they're going to do. But yes, that's what the Warriors want. They want to stretch five. So, to me, that's the guy. That's been the guy. That continues to be the guy. I hope that's the guy. Does that make you something scary? Probably not. Do I think that that can be a playoff team? I do. I really do.
And if I say I don't, then
that's
I'm dismissive.
Fine. Yes, you are.
So, right.
And that's okay.
It's your opinion of me being dismissive. Am I being dismissive if I'm right? Does that make me dismissive?
Well, that's an interesting way to phrase
and
it.
And I wonder, like, your use of dismissive, and if I said 3 years ago I didn't think that they would win a championship, and I did, and I would be in the 94% crowd, there was a very small minority, and I don't think that you were one of them. When they were halfway through the year, I don't think that you were saying, oh, yeah, championship, this team, it's a championship team.
No, I want to be in the moment. Like, just stay right here for a second.
Oh, I'm in the moment.
You're not.
I am.
You're not.
I'm in the moment, I see a team that's 19-20,
saying they're
and
not
in
go-
the moment, they're not good.
That's
and
fine.
And they haven't been good for 6 weeks.
But that
and 6 weeks ago, when I said
the
they aren't good,
that hasn't
I
been
said
the
they weren't good, and they weren't good that's then, not, and they're not
that,
good now.
But that's not the conversation.
That is the conversation.
No, you're saying
it's the way you're taking it.
No, you're saying they can't go anywhere.
Oh, of course they can.
That's no, you don't mean it in a way like they're allowed to. You mean it in a way like they're not. And the problem is you've got to make decisions in the moment based on where you think things are going to go next. I want to be careful
right,
here. I'm
right.
not criticizing you for that opinion.
You can but criticize me. You can say whatever you want about my opinion.
And I do. And this is a little bit of a difference, which is a good thing. Celebrate differences. It's a little bit of a difference in the way you and I look at things often. Not every time, not all the time, but often. And I skew too far to the optimist. And sometimes you're over here in what I would call, and by the way, slight tweak, I didn't call you dismissive. I called you a dismisser.
Right.
Which does not mean
that's fine.
It doesn't mean that you're dismissive of every topic, but you tend to skew in a direction of, that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
And that's fine.
And it's, but so you can tell me that, you know, this potentially could, it could happen. Like Steph can find the fountain of youth and you can acquire talent. And yes, I'm looking at it from a logical standpoint, from the way I judge a team and what I see when I watch 39 basketball games, and I see a team that is old and not very good,
right,
and if that's dismissive, then so be it.
But my point is there is a very real possibility that this team 2 weeks from now has new people on it. So how do we know? How do we know where it's going to go, right? The silly Giants under Farhan Zaidi, once upon a time, won 107 games with no talent. So, like, it's sports.
Right.
It's sports.
So how are we supposed to have a conversation without looking at the bigger picture?
You can say it. Don't turtle up. You can say it.
I will never turtle up.
So, like, it's fine.
I will never shy away from my opinion.
My point is if we're talking about the remainder of Steph Curry's career or even the remainder of Steph Curry's year, it is very, very relevant to think about what are the things that can be done to send this in a new direction. It doesn't, and this is my point, it doesn't have to be a championship. It doesn't have to be a one seed or a two seed or a three seed. I just think that we sit here today and it feels probably, I'd argue, as bad as it's felt all year, right? They're under 500 and you just lost to the freaking Raptors.
Yeah, you've lost 17 to 24.
Yeah, so like, coming from that moment emotionally, similar to what Steph said, is not a great space to form your opinion about what the team should do next. Because right now in this moment, it looks like they are a dumpster fire.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to be a dumpster fire for the rest of the year.
Well, it depends on a number of factors. One, can you get the players that you were counting on healthy? And I know that I saw GP2 expected to play tomorrow.
That's good.
And Pods is not. Draymond is questionable. And, you know, Kuminga is probably 2 or 3 weeks away from him actually playing. And
right.
Beyond the guys you have getting healthy, can the guys that you have actually play up to the caliber that we're used to seeing? And I'm looking at Dennis and Buddy particularly. Dennis Schroeder has been on 8 teams in his career, and I think there's a reason for that. And maybe it's because he doesn't fit, but Dennis so far has not been good. Can he play better? Sure. Can Buddy actually make a shot? Why not? Of course. So can you make acquisitions? Can you get healthy? Can you get better? All of that is absolutely possible, and I hope it would happen. But it doesn't mean that I necessarily look at all those things collectively and think this is going to be anything other than a play-in team or maybe a one-and-done in the playoffs.
Yeah, again, I think you speak for many. You're absolutely welcome to have the opinion. My message is today is today. Today is today. And it's the same message, quite frankly, that I had when you and I talked about those quarterbacks yesterday. And in fact, we can have a Sam Darnold conversation in a little bit after Steve Kerr comes on. I get struck how often we look at things, we remember the last thing we saw, and we decide that's who this person is. So now apparently Sam's terrible.
No.
Even I know, I'm not saying you.
No.
But they went 14 and in the end, I guess 14 and 4
right
this year. Sam's not terrible, but I also laughed when he was 14 and 3, and everyone's like, oh my God, guy's the bee's knees. No, we've watched him for 5 years. He's all of those things, just like Justin Herbert is, and Brock Purdy is, and all of these people. So when we say, are the Warriors 12 and 3, or are they 7 and 17? The only answer is both. They're both. Those capabilities are in there. And so I think Steph is not asking, he's not trying to strangle the organization into give me, give me, give me everything. He's saying, is there a chance to get better? And can we create a new path? And can Warrior basketball look different 3 weeks from now than it does today? I firmly think that it's possible.
Sure, it's possible. Of course it is. It's possible, but it's also possible, and I don't want to be dismissive or negative, but it's also possible that there's no deal out there, and the guys who you acquired, Buddy and Dennis, don't play any better, and your older guys continue to be in and out of the lineup, and it's possible that this doesn't get any better. I mean, they're, to me, teetering on the brink. You're going to Minnesota, a really good team tomorrow, at the end of a 4-game road trip, and I don't know what the spread is, but I would guess you're 6 or 6.5 point underdogs going into tomorrow night.
I can look at that.
It's going to be a tough spot for the Warriors, and I look at who you've been through 39 games. And yeah, this is who you are. You were hot early when you had a fresh Steph and you had Buddy lighting it up and you were winning games. And then you haven't had a fresh Steph and Draymond's been in and out of the lineup. And now Buddy has had a really hard time and you've fallen on really hard times.
The Warriors are 5.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, there you go.
5.5-point underdogs.
Sounds about right.
Grandy, what's up?
I have a question for you guys. So, Willie, you're talking about you don't want to make a rash decision based on one bad game, like a poor stretch. Like, you want large sample size. I mean, they've been a largely mediocre team for 2.5 years now, and only getting worse. That feels like a pretty large sample size to make decisions off of.
I guess that is the sample size that I'm using to make the decision that I would attempt to make, which is to try to get better. Like, I guess I'd answer your question with another question. What are you suggesting? Do you want to tank? I don't even know how the Warriors would do that.
I'm suggesting that you got to do something extreme one way or the other because just kind of hanging out in the middle hasn't worked and it's not going to work at any point.
So you would either make a huge swing.
One way or the other, which means the unthinkable.
You like Zion.
Well.
You want Zion.
I absolutely would go for Zion. It helps you now. It's a chance, but if it works, it helps you now and it helps you in the future.
I'll tell you what. It's the only big name that even slightly intrigues me. I will admit
he's 24
that.
Years old.
But your other to me your other extreme is not possible. I don't know how this team tanks. I would love for someone to explain to me how realistically everybody loves to be realist. Okay, let's be realist. Realistically, how do you tank? Tell me how that looks.
I would say by tanking, I maybe don't necessarily mean, or by going extreme the other way, I don't necessarily mean tanking this year. I mean, you know, maybe opening your eyes to the possibility that Steph Curry retires somewhere else, plays out the final years, not as a Warrior.
Okay. So you're talking about trade him?
Yeah. That's one extreme.
I don't know.
Not that I'd root for that or want that, but it's one extreme.
Here's the one, the funny thing, and you've said this before, Dibs, I don't even know how you execute that. Who's the team out there that's like, yep, $59 million for 37 years old. That's the missing piece we need. And we have wonderful assets for you in return that equal $60 million. I don't even know how you do it. I'm not trying to be dismissive. I don't know. I don't know how you execute either moving off of Steph or moving away from Steph. I don't even know how it's possible.
Well, wouldn't Steph want to go to a team where he can maybe get his fifth ring? And if that's the case, then you're going to trade him to a pretty good team. And usually a pretty good team, if they have a high-priced guy, it's a good player that they'd want to keep. So unless you want to involve a third or a fourth team to move salaries around to where Steph can go to a team like the Lakers, for example, and, you know... If Steph wants to go with LeBron and give it one last go-round in this cockamamie scenario, then the Lakers are going to have to send out salary to someone else, team's going to have to send it to the Warriors, and picks are flying and the whole deal. But I don't know the logistics of a trade with the highest paid player in the NBA is even possible, let alone would Joe Lacob even entertain that. And I understand that we all want to do right by Steph, but until Steph comes out and says, I want out... Until he goes not full Jimmy Butler, but partial Jimmy Butler, you don't even entertain this.
I'm with you. And by the way, I don't think we're anywhere near it. And I think that this comment he made last night proves it.
Desperate trades or desperate, you know, moves that deplete the future. Like, there is a responsibility allowing keeping the franchise in a good space and good spot when it comes to where we leave this thing when we're done. Doesn't mean that you're not trying to get better. Doesn't mean that you're not active in any type of search to you know, if you have an opportunity where a trade makes sense or even in the summer free agency makes sense. Like, you want to continue to get better. Nobody wants to be stale or be in a situation where you're passing up opportunities, but it doesn't mean that you're desperate, you know, just flinging assets all around the place just because you want to do something.
This bothered some people. Some people felt like it was a white flag. I thought that felt like a shower after a hike. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That Steph Curry is sitting here, and instead of trying to strangle people into being about me, he's like, yes, we want to win. Yes, we want to do everything we can, but we want to do it smart. I've been a Warrior my whole life. You think that I want to kick this organization in the face on my way out?
No.
I don't want to do that.
And you can't just be flinging assets all over the place. So you're
going to
fling assets all over the place for, let's just say, Zion Williamson. It's going to take two firsts and, you know, Wiggins and another player, and you get Zion Williamson in, and, you know, you're just flinging assets all over the place for a guy who may or may not be able to play. And, you know, tip of the cap to Zion. He's actually played in two consecutive games, and I'm proud
of him. That's three out of four now, Dibs.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And the one that he missed was not because of an injury.
Right. It's because he got into trouble.
Right.
He missed a plane. Yeah. 24 years old and, you know, still can't figure out how to get to a plane on time.
Hey, this is interesting. We haven't played it yet. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, reacting to that comment from Steph that we just played for you.
And this is so unusual for a star player to say. I mean, LeBron operates and has for decades exactly the opposite. He says, trade the 2031 first round pick. I don't care about that. This is Steph talking about leaving the franchise better than he found it. Guess what? You're leaving the franchise better than you found it. I promise you. And if anything, it's the franchise that owes him the last couple of years of his career. So this was a remarkable interview on a lot of fronts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. When you listen to him talk like that, it makes you wonder that the Warriors, who've been sniffing around a star player since last summer, that instead of doing that, they may do the opposite and make a trade to save money because they're not far away from the luxury tax, because it sounds like they've got Steph's sign-off on it. So this was truly a remarkable moment in the season.
So once again, here's my reaction to that. Once again, Steph Curry, party of one.
Yeah,
that's
he's
it.
Unique, pretty
yes.
unique, yeah. And I also think that he looks at it a little bit more the way I'm looking at it, which is it's not about February, it's about October. How do you get better between now and October? And if there's no big move you can make in February, and he talked about flinging assets all over the place, if there's no easy deal to get you better now, to make you a real threat now, why not make a trade like Brian Windhorst was saying, where you save a little bit of money, you clear a little bit of space, and you get to the offseason, and then you're more able to go out and get a free agent who'd be out there on the market.
If it's the right thing to do, then I bet Steph would be all for it. I don't think he wants to just kick the rest of this season.
No.
But again, you take each opportunity as it is presented to you, and if it's a smart thing, I do think he would sign off on something like that. I do.
Well, he's here. He's here for this year and two more, so it's not like his championship window closes at the end of this year.
Steve Kerr coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Glenn in New York. Hi, Glenn. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me. I think the big move that can be made now, and it's directly to your next guest coming up, is I think it's time to move on from Steve Kerr. We can give Mike Brown a call. This small guard lineup thing is not working. He keeps coming up with these idiotic rotations. Even the other night, he himself said, I keep taking Looney out of the lineup, and then halfway through the season, I put him back in, and I say, why did I take him out in the first place? It's just like he keeps making these idiotic, like, rotation moves that just do not work, and he refuses to move on from them. I think if we got Mike Brown in there, he's a coach that's already familiar with the team, he's familiar with the players, and we can pick it up. We can go from there. It's a big move that we don't have to sell the future away to get.
Yeah, Glenn, respectfully, very respectfully, could not disagree more. Thank you so much. If you look at this roster and feel like they are rotation moves away from being good, I would love to watch a game with you and have you explain it to me. I don't know what you're seeing. They don't have any talent right now.
Well, and they're tiny. So, I mean, like, he talked about them having all these guards. All you have is guards and small forwards. And your bigs are both 6'9". Kevon Looney, who can't jump.
He was good last night, too.
Yes, but,
he was good.
You know, it's not like he's a rim protector. And TJD at 6'9", who's not exactly that huge either. And the rest of your team is a bunch of guys at 6'3". So, what do you want him to do with the rotation?
I do not know. I do not know, and going from Steve Kerr to Mike Brown, I don't know one person in NBA circles who thinks that that would be an upgrade. I love Mike, too. Mike is a sweet man, and he really was a good assistant with the Warriors, and I think that he deserves a lot of credit. There's a comp from Mike Brown to Mark Jackson with the Sacramento Kings. He went in there, and he changed some things about the way they went about it, and it really helped, and it worked, and they're lighting the beam, and they're doing all these things. Now, maybe someone else needs to go in there to get it to the next level. Is that person Doug Christie? I don't know. They're off to a good start. But I'm not down on Mike Brown. But Steve Kerr is a better coach than Mike Brown, head coach of a basketball team.
And Steve Kerr is going nowhere. So it's just kind of like talking about Kyle Shanahan. We need to replace Kyle Shanahan. Well, it's not happening. And it's the same thing with Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is going to be here as long as he wants to be here. End of story, really.
Steve, you know where Steve Kerr is going to be? He's actually going to be here.
Oh.
Like, here.
Okay.
On 95.7 The Game.
With us.
On Willard and Dibs.
I love it.
He is coming up next. So stay right where you are. Here comes Steve Kerr joining us next. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. On Willard and Dibs.